Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon. On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Okay, we're talking about being positive and maintaining positive, being positivity, even in the face of when things are going badly enough that you need to see somebody to talk about your issues. Maybe somebody who might be a clinical psychologist or somebody who might be a counselor. We have somebody like that with us today. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist, licensed. And she joins us today on the show, as she does, to talk about positive psychology. Good morning, Gidi.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
Love having you on.
I was going to tell you about Bob Newhart.
Last week, we dropped off about talking about Bob Newhart, who played a psychologist. If you don't know, if you're young, you may not remember, back in the 70s was a hit show. Bob Newhart played a psychologist. And in Chicago, and it was a sitcom, and it was a funny show, by the way.
It was a great show. Yeah. He has this wonderful deadpan humor.
Yes.
And you can find this skit on YouTube.
Okay.
And
tell me about it.
And I just want to tell you what the skit says. This Bob Newhart is there. He's a psychologist, and the client or the patient comes in, and he explains to the patient that I charge $5 for the first minute. Now, this is back in the 60s, so that meant something, $5.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I charge $5 for the first minute, and I've never had a client, or he said actually a patient, stay longer than 5 minutes. And so, and she goes, well, okay. And so he says, so what can I do for you? And she starts talking about what's wrong with her, and he stops her he interrupts her, and he leans over and he says very loudly, I want you to stop it. Just stop it. Stop doing that. And she's startled, and she goes, oh, okay. And then she goes on to talk about something else that's wrong. And once again, he says, just stop it. Stop it. And it goes on and on and on until finally she flees from him.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not saying that positive psychology or Dr. Seligman is telling people who have, mental disorders to just stop it,
right,
or cover it up with a little Band-Aid.
Right.
We are saying there's another dimension to psychology.
But one of the things I was bringing up, I think, in the last week, which led to that analogy, was is there a point where you do just say stop it to somebody who comes in, somebody who might come in and has a problem, and it's just kind of like, woe is me, I feel pity, and where you just need to say, just stop it.
Yeah,
just,
some therapists do.
Uh-huh.
It's not my style, but I know of some therapists who are very directive, and they confront clients that way. I would be a little different in my approach to produce the same end. I might say, so how is what you're doing getting you where you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And let them draw the conclusion.
Right.
Or, on a scale of 0 to 10, how motivated are you to have this issue change?
Mm-hmm.
I would come at it from a little bit different way, but with the same goal of showing them, it's your attitude that's creating this situation more than the situation itself. But I believe the therapist has to earn the right to say that. You have to listen, you have to care, you have to be there for your client before you can come up with a directive like that. But I know that other therapists have different approaches that are very effective that, are not what I'm saying. So I just don't want to mislead the listener. There are many, many valid approaches to the scenario you set up.
Are there, for the most part, when our big picture, when we look at the human being, and this is maybe people in the United States, or maybe overall, are people generally view themselves and view them negative people or positive people? Are there ways to gauge human feeling when it pertains to being positive or negative? What's the majority of Americans, the majority of people like? Are they generally positive or are they generally negative?
Well, we're going to get into that probably in the third show.
Mm-hmm.
But today what I wanted to talk about is, last week we talked about the three consequences of the what's wrong with you model. Mm-hmm. Now I want to talk about positive psychology and the three aims, according to Dr. Seligman, of what's right with you.
Okay.
So first of all, one of the aims of positive psychology is that it should be just as concerned with human strengths as it is with human weaknesses.
Right.
And that's why we have on our face sheet at The Growing Place, we have the client think about their strengths. And it always startles the client because they're like, well, I didn't come here to talk to you about my strengths. But I explained to them, well, actually, it's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what you're doing that works for you.
But is it wrong for somebody to say, okay, I have weaknesses?
Not at all.
I accept the weaknesses.
Absolutely. Because what Seligman says is psychology should be just as concerned with strengths as weaknesses. No, he's saying you should be concerned with both.
Is it okay to say, I accept I have a weakness?
Absolutely.
That's okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
This isn't about, you know, Pollyanna thinking or just blind optimism that's not based in fact.
So it's okay for a psychologist or a parent talking to their kid or a boss talking to their employee. We have to accept the fact that maybe you don't have a great speaking voice or you don't have a great look to be on the news or whatever it is, and just accept that and say that's okay?
It's hard to make a blanket statement about everything, but in psychology we call that vulnerability. Mm-hmm. And part of vulnerability is admitting and accepting areas where you are deficient.
Okay.
So I would say that's definitely a part of positive psychology.
We're going to take a break. And we're talking about the three aims at positive psychology with Gidi Hansen. We'll continue our discussion after this.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. They tell me I'm too young to understand. They say I'm caught.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio.
Life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes.
This is Live Local Talk.
So wake me up when
The Growing Place continues its summer-long series of Courageous Living series. Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock until 11:30, every Saturday morning. Basically seminars, 90 minutes long. The topic this Saturday morning, next Saturday, will be July 11th. July 11th, overcoming anxiety. Got some issues, some anxiety problems. How do you overcome those worries that we have? We all have them. How do you get over it? Jesus tells us we're not supposed to be anxious. In Sermon on the Mount, don't be anxious. I'm going to take care of you. You don't need to be anxious, but we do anyway. And so The Growing Place is somebody that will help you get rid of some of that anxiety. Their seminar is July 9th, Saturday 10 to 11:30. Go to tgplace.com to set up an appointment to be with them, or maybe you need a counselor yourself to talk about anxiety problems or anything else. 588-0448, 588-0448, or tgplace.com. Gidi Hansen and I discussing the positive psychology, and this was a field brought to us by Dr. Martin Seligman, who was a director of the University of Pennsylvania Positive Psychology Center. Back in 2000, he started doing this. That's kind of new science in a way.
It is, and it's a science. Uh-huh. And that's the difference between this and the power of positive thinking, which was Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
He was coming at that more from a faith place, faith and emotions. This is really a science, and we'll get into that next week, Lord willing.
Mm-hmm.
So the second aim of positive psychology...
Well, the first one, just to remind people, should be...
That psychology should be just as concerned with human strengths as it is with human weaknesses.
Okay.
So the second one is, psychology should be interested in building the best things in life as well as repairing the worst. Okay. You notice that he's not making them opposed. Mm-hmm. He's balancing it out. Mm-hmm. And so if you build up the best things in life and you repair the worst, you're going to be a pretty happy person. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but if we only focus on repairing the worst, now you're at your level, you're zero, you know, mm-hmm. you're at baseline. Where do you go from there? Positive psychology tells you where to go. You can now start to build, mm-hmm. which I think is very, very important. And then the third aim of positive psychology is that psychology should be just as concerned with making the lives of normal people happy, making the lives of normal people healthy and nurturing high talent as it is with healing disorders and sicknesses. So he really broadened the view of psychology to include every man, woman, and child on the planet.
Gosh, you know, I was thinking about, if you have a choice between being happy and sad, you're always going to want, you would think you would want to choose happiness. But are there some people who dwell in negativity and enjoy being down?
I think all of us do in one way or another. I think there's a payoff for all of us in some areas to dwell on the negative. Let me give you an example. Mm-hmm. Let's say your boss chews you out and dresses you down for something that you know was not your fault. In fact, you know a coworker was the person responsible, but you do not feel it's your place to be the tattletale. Mm-hmm. And to blow the whistle and to say it was my coworker.
Blow the whistle.
The
whistle.
Listen to me. Listen to me. You just figure out that, okay, I'll take this dressing down, and you know, one day you'll realize, or my coworker will man up and come forward and say, well, actually, mm-hmm. I was the one who did X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So afterwards, or let's say you're dressed down for something you really deserve. Mm-hmm. Okay? Afterwards, you can feel sad or happy. You have a choice to make. And this is where positive psychology comes in.
Because there's a lot of people, and I speak for myself, who will be thinking, just thinking, not necessarily speaking out, but thinking, that person is a lousy person. That person's no good. And by reminding yourself that that person is such of a lousy human being, that makes me feel better. There's something that makes you feel better by saying, well, maybe I got some faults, but this person is so wrong, so bad, got it all wrong. And I find myself doing that at times. I do.
Okay.
And it's not good. And then I have to shake myself out of it and say, this isn't what God wants me to be thinking about.
Right. I was thinking more along the lines of, if a person is sad after getting chewed out by the boss, thinking negative thoughts such
about
as
themselves
or about life. Life is so unfair.
Oh, I see.
You know, these things happen to me and I don't know why. I work so hard. They never compliment me. They never tell me what I'm doing right. But the minute something goes wrong, they look at me and they blame it on me. These are all the thoughts that are going to just drag me down into the gutter.
But there are negative thoughts too when you focus on that person. For instance, like sometimes maybe I do, where you're thinking this person is not a good person.
And that's a dangerous place to let your mind go. Yeah. I tell you, that is spiritually as well as emotionally dangerous.
Mm-hmm. But you're saying that many times people just get down on themselves
down on life
because they take to heart what somebody says.
Yeah, and they think this is just part of the pattern of my life. You know, I get blamed for everything, and out come all the ants, and they're running all over the place. Mm-hmm. Or rather, the person could evaluate what the boss is saying, and have enough sense of their own validity and of their own strengths and of their own what's right with me to look at the boss and go, you know what? You know, that's a good point. I think I'm going to listen to what you're saying, and I could really improve in that area, and I thank you for bringing that to my attention.
We're going to take a break, but it sounds like I could use some of that myself based on this conversation. We're going to take a break and continue discussing positive psychology with Gidi Hansen right after the break.
Welcome to KKXX Life Radio. This is Live Local Talk.
All right, we have one more segment with Gidi Hansen at A Growing Place. By the way, if you're looking for a somebody to speak to you about maybe some problems that you have in your life, maybe you're feeling a little bit down, or maybe you have some addiction issues, you have some family matters, marital problems, Gidi Hansen is a licensed marriage and family therapist with A Growing Place. You can reach her at 588-0448. And we're continuing our discussion on positive psychology. And we're learning today is that the three aims of positive psychology should be, we should be just as concerned with our with human strengths as it is with our weaknesses. We should be interested in building the best things in life as well as repairing the worst. And the last point, we should be just as concerned with making the lives of normal people healthy and nurturing high talent as it is with healing pathology. That's a little more complicated. Maybe we could just discuss a little bit more about that.
Yes, that, you know, going back to where we were just before the break, how we respond to life really can determine whether we're sad or happy. And a good clinician, a good psychotherapist, or even a good life coach can help the client have more positive responses, say, to criticism. And going back to the model that you were using, the example of, you know, well, I just think bad things about the other person. You know, if I get dressed down by somebody and I feel
That person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they don't know anything.
Yeah, they're an idiot.
Yeah.
I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you
what that's doing to you. Okay. Whenever we categorize or dehumanize someone else and classify them as a bad person, no matter who it is, we are hurting ourselves.
You're right.
Because we are reducing people to a handful of behaviors. And people are a whole lot more than that.
That is so true. Because so many times we judge people on slivers of their life.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite analogies is when we say, you see somebody at a store. I don't know how many times I hear somebody say, boy, that guy is the greatest guy I've ever met in my life. You don't know that. You don't have any idea. Or that person's just the worst so-and-so I've ever seen in my life. You don't have any idea. I mean, you think about the full scope of someone's life. People judge people based on slivers of someone's life. Somebody has a bad moment at a McDonald's. Somebody has a bad moment or a really good moment somewhere where they're really nice. And you think, and you go around making a judgment on somebody based on the smallest little piece of time in someone's life. You don't know anything about anybody is the real lesson in life.
No, and we don't know what would just happened in the boss's life, that the boss got so overwhelmed that the boss needed to vent on somebody.
Right.
And you were the first person to walk in the door.
You know, it's really interesting because I've worked for people who are very understanding because in the business I work in, it's a high-stress situation, and sometimes things just get really, you know, the clock is ticking. You got to get it done at a certain time. And you run into bosses who say, I understand. I know exactly what you're going through, or I get it because I've been there before. And that's the kind of grace you like to have, that kind of understanding.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So where I'd like to go with this, Jerry, is next week I want to talk about the science of positive psychology. And then we're going to talk about Dr. Seligman in 2 weeks. We'll talk about how he classifies happy lives in three categories, and we will take a show for each category. And then, Lord willing, when we're done with all of that, we're going to start looking at individual strengths and virtues that can make anybody's life happier.
When you're trying to analyze or learn about somebody, I guess maybe it's because I'm thinking the way I think, which is there are certain categories in life and how they're identified. Somebody, is that how it's done? Like, here's a spiritual life, here's a family life, here's their work life, here's their whatever life it is, their hobby life, what they like to do in their hobbies. Is it all, did you go into each compartment of somebody's life, or is it a kind of a big common thread that runs through all of it?
Well, one belief system in psychology is that the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Okay.
So that we go into the parts and to, the, you know, where, you know, if something isn't working or something can work better, but at least I try to look at a person holistically. Mm-hmm. For instance, when I give someone a diagnosis, I tell them, you are more than your diagnosis. Don't accept this as a label. This doesn't tell you who you are. It just takes certain of your behaviors and explains them. Mm-hmm. That's all it's about.
So is it possible for somebody to be very positive about one aspect of their life? Their work is going great, but their marriage isn't going good.
Absolutely.
And so in that sense, you can kind of say, we're not going to talk about your work because everything is going well there, everything is nice. Let's talk about your relationship with your children.
Right, or we could bring the work into it by saying, let's look at what you're doing at work that makes things go well.
Uh-huh.
See if we can transfer some of that good stuff to the home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because maybe at work this individual is more available, more receptive, more interactive with his coworkers, but at home he isolates and he puts everybody off and he yells at the kids and kicks the dog.
Mm-hmm.
And he's unhappy. So we do look at parts, but we also try to bring it all together because we're looking at one person, not mm-hmm. many people.
And I think one of the things I've learned just over the first two shows of this, Gidi, is that there's always room for improvement. Even when you think things
yes.
are going well, that they could go better.
Yes.
You know, maybe we're not enjoying our lives as much as we are.
Yeah.
Things are going well. The family's doing well. Things are going good.
You've got good results,
things,
but you feel driven, anxious, hurried.
Yeah. You know, some of it, I think, is there a case where some people are in, well, we're out of time. We're going to continue next week. Gidi Hansen, thank you so much for being with
thank
us.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Gidi Hansen, The Growing Place, about positive psychology. And we're going to continue our discussion next Wednesday with Gidi on this. I want to remind you, though, if you want to get hold of Gidi, easy to do. She works at The Growing Place. Their phone number is 588-0448. Or go to tgplace.com. That wraps up today's show. We'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.